This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdahl. Natural disasters, from drought to flood and almost everything in between, can do quite a number on farmers and their crops and the prices that consumers wind up paying. Look no farther than the Midwest this past summer. But nature's not the only reason that food prices go up. In his new book, Bet the Farm, How Food Stopped Being Food, Frederick Kaufman says Wall Street has a little something to do with it, too. Fred Kaufman, good to have you with us.
Hey, thanks.
You start this book in a Domino's pizza factory, and I guess you went to Michigan, right?
Yeah, I did.
And, you tell the whole story about mixing a quarter-ton batch of dough and all this stuff. But then at one point, you talk about this guy at Domino's complaining about how he got blown out in his tomato hedges.
Yeah.
Explain that, because that's kind of an extraordinary thing.
So I'm at Domino's right after one of the three great price spikes in food in the last 5 years. And what happens is that people need to manage their risks in terms of the cost of food going forward. And so what they basically do is they place bets on imaginary food. In other words, promises to buy and sell food that does not yet exist at some time in the future. That's a futures market, okay? And if you let's say you promise to sell tomatoes at a certain price and the tomato price just skyrockets, you really lose a lot of money.
Why are banks bad for food? I mean, that's kind of the thesis here, right?
Banks are food neutral. The problem is speculating in food. And you've seen that a lot of banks, not just Goldman, but Deutsche and Barclays in particular, and J.P. Morgan Chase, began to realize this was an area of profit. And they just went into it with full force. And they transformed a market that had worked very well because they are not particularly interested in the beauty of well-working markets. They're interested in profit. They're interested in making money.
Let me give you the Wall Street counterpoint, right, which will be we supply liquidity to the markets. We ensure efficient movement of capital to where it needs to go to assure maximum productivity and the cheapest possible product. And we're doing a good thing.
That's absolutely true, but not today. These food commodity markets worked beautifully for about 100 years, right? And there was a really nice balance of speculators and bona fide hedgers. And commodity markets need speculation. Speculation in and of itself is not bad. The real price of wheat actually went down throughout the 20th century, remained stable. And of course, that's no coincidence. That's the greatest century of American strength. But when all of a sudden huge volumes of new speculative money pours into the market, you get an asymmetrical market. Volatility starts going crazy. The market needs to be re-regulated.
Well, I get what you're saying, but if the markets had worked so well for 100 years, how come you still had people starving? How come everybody didn't have cheap, healthy, delicious food, as you say in this book?
You know, it's funny. The hunger numbers are very hard to parse. I think that, you know, there is a very strong sense right before the Green Revolution, we had to do something about global hunger, right? We brought the numbers down, then they went back up again. This is really unconscionable. A billion hungry people, that's kind of an apocalyptic number. And it's certainly unconscionable in an age where we have iPods and iPhones and all sorts of technology. This is a simple technology, is putting food in people's mouths.
The book is called Bet the Farm, How Food Stopped Being Food. The author is Frederick Kaufman. Fred, thanks so much for your time. Appreciate you being here.
Thank you, Kai.